There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
All right, then. Welcome, Robbie. Nice to see you.
Hello.
Let's start with cricket today.
Let's do that.
We need to talk sports. South Africa, India, first of all.
Yes, South Africa are 1-0 up in the series.
Yeah.
They did so on an extremely lively pitch down in Cape Town against India. India had their chances. They were trying to become, I think, the first side from Asia to chase down over 200 runs in the second innings in South Africa. They failed to do so by a margin of 72 runs, ultimately falling well short of the total, the required total. I think the run chase was 208. The final score from India in their second innings, 135. Vernon Philander was the chief architect of all the Indian pain and suffering. He took 6 wickets, and South Africa can, I guess, pat themselves on the back because they did enough in the first innings, 286. AB de Villiers now installed back in that test side after a long time on the sidelines. Faf du Plessis, the captain as well. Those two scored 65 and 62 respectively. And I tell you what, the one ray of light that's come out of this from an Indian point of view is Hardik Pandya. This was his first appearance outside of the subcontinent, and he smashed 93, which was the top score of any batsman across the match, and that was an excellent performance from a player that just has it all. He can bowl, he can field, he's an excellent batsman. He's done very well in one day internationals as well. So India, I think, and Virat Kohli, the captain, now looking ahead to the second test, and I think a new mentality, a more collective attitude from the batsman, and I think just being wary of trying to play certain shots, because there's no doubt about it, given the fact that so many wickets tumbled, I think 16 wickets fell on the final day. It was a extremely difficult pitch to bat on. And when you get one of those pitches which does favour the bowlers, I think it actually makes Test cricket the most exciting form of the game.
I'm with you on that, you know, because if you look at the stats in this game, it was pretty even, certainly in terms of the runs scored, but it was India in the last instance there, collapsing, unfortunately. Let's see what happens. They've got a 1-0 lead, South Africa, in this series now. It's 3 tests, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is more. There's a one-day international that's taken place, and that is between, I'm just going to try and get the scores up here, Pakistan and New Zealand. And New Zealand have taken a 2-0 lead in that series, using the Duckworth-Lewis method. Rain interrupted for the second time down in Dunedin. 151 for 2 New Zealand were after 23.5 overs. Pakistan making 246 for 9. Enter the Duckworth-Lewis method, and New Zealand have won that one to take a 2-0 lead in that series. And then still the fallout from the Ashes is still rippling around in Australia. Geoffrey Boycott has been having his say, and it's not a very particularly complimentary say at that.
That's a line you hear every day, isn't
about,
it?
He's been, I guess, someone that the England cricket team are not looking to run into on live television, because he was caught in the crossfires, was Jimmy Anderson, who was fronting up in front of the Sky television cameras just yesterday. Geoffrey Boycott's inquiry, and it's a fair one, as to why there was not more adequate planning for this series. Jimmy protested that this was decisions that were taken somewhat above his pay grade. And Geoffrey just quite rightly asked, well, who's going to be doing the planning now? Because all the noises coming out of the England camp is that there needs to be, from tomorrow onwards, kind of a preparation as to how on earth England are going to be more competitive the next time they're down in Australia. Forget the 2019 Ashes. How on earth can England go down to Australia? Because it's widely accepted the Australians make a much better fist of going to England than the English do in going down to Australia. And I don't know how much planning that's, or who will be doing the planning. I think that was the question that Geoffrey Boycott was asking, but no one really seemed to have any answers.
I like Geoff Boycott. Tells it like it is.
He does.
Got a lot to
Doesn't mince his words.
Oh.
Let's move on to football, Robbie. And there is some action this evening, which we'll get to. Of course, Man City going for the first of 4 trophies that they'd like to win this season, I think. But I want to look back at last night very quickly. The late match in the English FA Cup between Brighton and Crystal Palace was the first competitive game in England to use video assistant referee, VAR system. How did it go? What do we think of it? Because this, to me, is a real can of worms for football, just because of the way footballers behave.
Yes, and it's definitely going to change the game. There are a lot of opponents to the video assistant referee, and to kind of put you in the picture, the referee Andre Mariner is hooked up to the video assistant referee throughout the course of the game. A gentleman in this case by the name of Neil Swarbrick, and he is surrounded by 15 in-studio cameras, of course, which he can then choose to replay and take a closer look at certain incidents. Video assistant referees can only be used in four match-changing incidents, and they are goals, penalty decisions, straight red cards, and in any cases, and these are obviously very rare, of mistaken identity. The video assistant referee can wade in. All other incidents that happen in the game, be it a yellow card or an offside, video assistant referees are not going to be employed. So these are deemed the most match-changing incidents that take place in a game of football. And of course, as soon as you introduce video referees, they are going to be called upon quite intensely. And I think that's what we've seen in rugby. We saw with England and Australia in that test match at Twickenham when the ball was replayed literally 100 times to see whether it had gone in or out of touch, and they eventually decided that it had stayed in.
But they made that quite dramatic in rugby.
They do, but there's definitely an argument to be made that it holds the game up.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Glenn Murray scored a winner against Brighton, against his former club, Brighton beating Crystal Palace, I should say, to progress into the FA Cup fourth round. Roy Hodgson, the manager of Crystal Palace, was satisfied that the goal had been, there'd been a suggestion of handball, but that the goal was valid and that it should have stood. And there was no more drama in that respect. But I think as this becomes increasingly utilised, and we're already seeing it used in various European leagues, it's going to be a contentious issue. There's no doubt about that. But we're going to be debating it a little bit later on Sports Tonight between 7 and 9 o'clock. And I'm sure plenty of people will be having their say.
Are you a fan of it? I mean, as a football fan, do you think it's a good idea? Because in rugby, it has become part of the drama. It's on the big screen. The crowd kind of gets involved. In football, he goes off and has a look at a little screen, doesn't he? You can't see it. You can't participate as the crowd. And also, the referee chooses when to use it. But I can only imagine how the players are going to try and get in his face on that.
There needs to be a bit more respect. And I think that was one of the rules that we talked about change last week in sport. Chris mentioned that he'd like to see a bit more respect for the referees in football. That's not just change. That's behavioural attitudes changing. And that's never going to happen.
That's unfortunately.
That's not a rule. That's a change in attitude, isn't it? But that would be, I guess, footballing utopia if that ever happened. I don't think it will. I just think that the culture of the game is so different to a game like rugby, where you see an awful lot more respect from the players versus or with the referees. But in terms of the video assistant referees, I still feel I prefer the debate. I prefer the contentious issues. I enjoy watching the pundits go back and forth for an hour. I'm with Dale Gordon, our Monday Night Football pundit, on this one. I think that anything that sucks away from the debate in football threatens mine and Chris McCarty's job, ultimately. So I am against video assistant referees. If it's going to clear up all these dodgy issues, what on earth are we going to talk about on Monday Night Football? This is crazy. No, I mean, I think if used properly and if it doesn't slow the game up, it can be a good thing for football. And ultimately, and we were talking about it last night, if there was video assistant referees back in 1986, there would have been no famous Maradona handball goal.
Yeah, it's a fair
Argentina
point,
may not have won the 1986 World Cup. Who knows? Another team may have gone on to win the 1986 World Cup, and Maradona may not command the same kind of vaulted status. Of course, he'd still be known as one of the great players, but one of the greatest players, along with perhaps Pelé, in terms of the historical players in football who ever lived. Had Argentina never won that World Cup, people may have a different opinion.
So
video assistant referees could change the game going forward. They are certainly going to do that. And Chris and I are going to be drag kicking and screaming along, I'm sure.
Probably.
In terms of our reluctant endorsement of these technologies.
Robbie Greenfield nailing his colours firmly to the mast. To be fair, and to add the other side to this, had they been around in 1966, England would probably not have won the World Cup then. So, you know, there is a counter-argument.
Yeah. So be careful what we wish for. Be careful what we wish for. Yeah. And we're running out of time, but just very quickly, the match tonight that we mentioned in football.
The match tonight that we mentioned, Manchester City are taking on Bristol City. Am I correct in saying that? Bristol City. It is the semi-final of the Carabao Cup. And we're going to see Arsenal-Chelsea take on the second semi-final, contest that tomorrow night. You'd expect Manchester City to win that game, but you never quite know.
But we're all on the side of Bristol City, unless you're a Man City supporter.
Bristol City, the conquerors of Manchester United in the last round. And
what division are they in? Bristol City?
Bristol City.
Are they champion? First?
Championship.
Championship. Okay. So only one below.
Yeah, I think Man City should win. It really does depend also what team Pep Guardiola can field. But even if he fielded his absolute second team with not a single regular starter in there, you'd still fancy Manchester City to win that match. But the quadruple is still alive for Manchester City. Guardiola has come out and said, we are not winning the quadruple. That is absolutely nonsense talk. Stop mentioning that word.
Fake news.
But obviously it is. It's not fake news yet because they're in all four competitions that they started out in at the start of the season. You never know. It's extremely unlikely. But if they can win this, get through to the final of the Carabao Cup, they're still in the FA Cup, Champions League, you'd have to back them as much as you would any other team, along with, say, Real Madrid, PSG and Barcelona. And in the Premier League, it looks like they've sewn it up already. So perhaps it's not as outrageous a claim as Pep Guardiola would like us to have, would like us to believe.
That is something. That would be some achievement. That would get rid of the detractors forever, wouldn't it, of his move to City. Right, last word today. Here you go.
The last word.
Mansett's apartment on fire by burning a...
What do you think? Man sets apartment on fire by burning a what? We'll give that to you first of all, Robbie Greenfield. Z, do you want to have a go at this?
I know what it is, so I'm going to have to pass.
Oh, you do? Okay, so you're not in. Okay.
I'm just going to go on my cooking skills here. Sandwich?
Yeah, maybe it was a toasty.
Every time.
Cheese toasty.
I love it. I'm thinking, give me a couple of minutes, I'm coming back. Here it is again.
The last word.
Mansett's apartment on fire by burning a...
Interesting that, isn't it? Slippers, I'm going for. I think you left them on the radiator and they caught fire. Something like that. Innocent. I'm going innocent with this.
Both good guesses. I'm giving nothing away. 4001 if you want to have a guess.
Robbie, thank you.
Cheers.
Drive Live. Have your say.
Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai iMessenger app.
So you get in touch. If you do text in for the lost word or if you're going to give it a go, put your name on there so we can identify you. Here it is again.
The lost word.
Mansett's apartment on fire by burning a...
Robbie Greenfield said sandwich. I was going for slippers. I don't know why. They're very tame responses.
Both good answers, and I'm loving some of the answers that people have sent in this evening. Thank you very much for those. Zubair says a portrait of Donald Trump. Somebody who hasn't put a name on, not surprisingly, says Mankini.
There's a theme with Mankini. Somebody texted in yesterday.
They want it to be the answer. I'm going to find a story for you where Mankini is the answer.
That's happened before. David kept texting an aardvark, and eventually we found an aardvark. Just to please him. But there's something about Chris McCarty and a Mankini that somebody's keen on. I'm less keen on it.
That's a whole nother story.
It is.
Somebody else says Barbie doll. Keith says candle. Faradoon says a pile of laundry. Juan says voodoo doll. Bill says midnight lamp. Someone with no name says his roommate. That would have been bad. Juan also says a llama. Carty says a cockroach. And somebody else says deodorant. I suppose there's that thing where you can press a deodorant can and set fire to it and it makes a flamethrower.
Like a flamethrower, yeah.
Two people have the answer right. Well done to Max and to Cool Dude, who both got it correct. The answer is a spider. This is a story out of the US. A man may have accidentally set his apartment on fire while trying to burn a huge spider. He apparently used a blowtorch to try to set fire to a huge wolf spider. And this is a big spider, by the way. This is in California, the size of your hand. So you want to take it out. You might get something like a blowtorch out to do so, if you're so inclined. Block of flats in the city of Redding in Northern California. Police haven't confirmed the spider side of the story, but a witness living in the flat said to a local newspaper that the burning spider may have spread the fire across the whole apartment. No injuries luckily were reported. Everybody escaped unscathed. But it does seem like this guy, who obviously was not keen on this giant arachnid popping up in his apartment, set fire to the thing with a blowtorch and burned his house down.
That's horrible.
It is horrible.
Oh, I'm feeling for the spider.
We don't know whether the spider survived. That is a note in the local newspaper. No news on that.
It's a developing story, is it?
It is. We're waiting to hear how the spider is.
There's a moral in that story. Never try and burn a spider. They've got eight legs. They're going to run around and they're going to spread the fire. So,
especially a spider this size.
Oh, man. All right, that's the last word today.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.